to the book of Genesis. Chapter 30. Genesis chapter 30, and we're going to look at verse 27. Would you stand for the reading of God's word, please? Genesis 30, verse 27. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now when shall I provide for my own house also? Brother Garner, would you ask God's blessings on the preaching of his word today? Amen. You may be seated this morning. I would like to title this, The Dark Cloud That Comes With Our Success, or The Battle Before the Battle. Jacob, the son of Isaac, who left 14 years earlier because he cheated his brother out of his birthright and left hoping that things would calm down, went longer than he had intended to stay. And now Jacob has gone to his uncle, Laban. And he has served Laban in his house for some time. We know at least 14 years. And he's gotten two wives. And God has abundantly blessed Laban since Jacob has come. And Jacob was aware of this. Laban is the first to acknowledge it. Since you've come, my life went along in a certain way, but since you've come, I know by experience that the Lord has blessed me. Jacob, not being a humble man, turned around and said, you're right. Since I've been here, you've been blessed. So both are aware of the increase in Laban's house. But it is that expression that I would like us to consider this morning, where it says, Laban said, I've learned by experience. Have you ever stopped to consider the many things that one learns by experience? Something you learn rather quickly by experience. And is in the case in this story, it took years to learn it. Some things you can learn quickly by experience. But some things take years. And staying in one place, and you observe. And after years, you can say, you know, I've learned by experience. Laban was aware that all of his household and perhaps other areas besides financial blessings No doubt other blessings came to his household that he was able to pinpoint it and recognize, since you've come, things have turned around. Where I pastored in White Salmon, all of the mills were shut down due to the spotted owl. But the men that were believers that were in our church, I learned by experience, because they served God, the mill they were at was not shut down. I believe it was because they were men of God and honored God and served God. You couldn't help but notice the difference. Some things take years to learn. When you read the book of Hebrews, it is a book of miracles, and there's short-term miracles and there's long-term miracles of these that walked by faith. But the things that don't take long to learn by experience would be, a child learns a fire is hot by experience. Some things can't be taught, they must be caught. When my daughter Kelly was about 4 or somewhere in that age, we had a stove that continually burned 24/7 in the winter. It would be 20 degrees average through winter. It'd get warm up, we'd have a heat wave, and it'd get up to 45, and we're all praising God. But we had that stove going continually. Now that Kelly's learned to crawl and maybe walk, she would always head over to the stove to want to touch it out of curiosity. And I'm continually, and mother, we'd pull her back and say, no, stove hot, stove hot. But regardless of how many times we told her, how many know there are some that have to learn the hard way? So one day she headed over to that stove, and I could tell it wasn't red hot, but it was hot enough. And I told her at least, Lord knows how many times, but I thought, all right, I'm going to let you learn the hard way. And she went up and touched that stove and gave out a curdling cry. And from that day forward, she learned the stove is hot. She became my best convert. Anytime anybody had come over, she would say, stove hot, stove hot, stove hot. And she learned. But a child learns to walk by experience, or ride a bike, or ladies, they learn how to cook. They learn how to sew and iron and change dirty diapers by experience. And men learn how to pretend they're busy when the baby has a dirty diaper. And men pretend, I don't know how to do that. But we learn where and where not to eat by experience. We learn you can't always judge a book by its cover by experience. Have you ever pondered the occupations that are learned by experience? Carpentry. That's why they have a season so they can get their apprentice. But you learn by experience many occupations, whether it be carpentry or electrician or a mechanic, a welder, a plumber. I have learned by experience it's easier to put on weight than it is to take off weight. But when it comes to learning by experience, when God is in the picture, it is quite a thrill. There are some things that I have personally experienced that you only learn by experience. There are some things that just can't be taught. They must be experienced. Getting born again is an experience. When David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, I could try to describe it to you, but there are some things you just must learn by experience. I think that we need to be careful that we try to understand everything before we do it. You know, you'd be a whole lot better before you understand prayer just to go ahead and pray, and you'll learn it works rather than trying to figure it out. There's some things you're just better off doing, and then you learn, but trying to figure it out, I don't know if it'll ever happen. But today I want to speak on the title, The Dark Cloud That Comes With Success. Now, this is something that I have personally learned. I've shared it with minister friends, and I've shared it with brothers and sisters over the years. But I've said all that to please, would you open in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1. I want us to see, when I first came here, I realized, good night, Lord, I'm going to be preaching to people that have been living for God longer than I've been born. In Joshua, here is Joshua getting ready to step in to fulfill the ministry of Moses. So I want to read Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. Or verse 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give it them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall ye be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, pay attention, please. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whither thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. And this is the one that really I want us to speak to our hearts. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Joshua is stepping into the shoes of Moses. And I want you to see three things that he tells Joshua. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. I mean, that's a very uplifting, encouraging word. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. Verse 8, you're going to have good success. But then, as he wraps it up, he says, be not dismayed. Now, why in the world would he be discouraged? Why in the world would he be dismayed? Or when you break down the word, it just simply means depressed. Let me share with you what I've learned in the ministry, what I've learned personally, and I've found this true in counseling people over 40 years. This I have learned from experience. Often, just before a great victory or success that God is going to bring into your life, there can often be a battle before the battle. I'll deal with that a little bit later. But at this part of the scripture, I want us to understand, after a great victory in your life, often depression can set in. And it is the dark cloud that often accompanies success. I could not understand in my own life over the years when I would experience something wonderful happening, a great victory, a wonderful thing that I knew that God did, and wow, it was great. And then I've noticed, at a time afterwards, I would fight moods of depression and moods of discouragement, and I couldn't figure it out. I would try to, why? I should be totally happy. And I was. But it was days after. And I've noticed in my minister friends, and I've noticed in dealing with people over the years, and I'm not going to make this a blanket rule for everyone, but I want you to understand to how many know what it is to get down and to just have depression and not be able to understand your depression and not be able to understand, why am I down? I should be up. I should be thrilled. And there was a season where I was. But now, why these blahs? Please take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. We read these words, and the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee, He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee, fear not, neither be dismayed. And there's that word again. Now, without wanting to read too much into Scripture, because this is something I've learned by experience, but I believe I have enough Bible to back it up, when Moses was getting ready to talk to Joshua personally, we find in Joshua chapter 10, verse 25, as though Moses himself had learned by experience himself. And he says, or we find, excuse me, these words in Joshua 10, 25. This is right after one of the greatest miracles in the Old Testament, where the sun stands still. It says, right after the sun stood still and the moon stayed, in Joshua 10, 13, that's where the miracle happened, Joshua 10, 13. But now, a little bit afterwards, in Joshua 10, 25, here it says, and Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. Now, the word dismayed simply means to break down, either by violence or confusion and fear. Means to abolish, affright, amaze, beat down, discouraged. But I have observed over 40 years by experience. I've seen Christians go through this. A great victory. And you can get blessings in a thousand ways. You can get a blessing at the old-fashioned altar, where you wait before God, and God breaks down, and you're like Jacob, that you wrestled with the Lord until the break of day, and you got victory out of it. And how many remember the praying through and going to the altar and really getting a blessing from God? Or you can get a blessing in many, many ways. It could be a new job, a raise, or God's answered your prayer, or something has thrilled your soul. And yet a couple of days or down the road, a dismay. And I would think, why am I feeling this way? I remember one time I was seeking the Lord about this, and here's what I believe the Lord laid upon my heart. And God was as much as saying, listen, you're doing a great job, and I'm just here to remind you that it was me that did it. It was not your talent. It was not your ability. It's nothing that you can take credit for. It was me that was doing the job. And sometimes the Lord will allow you to go through that season to where you recognize it's God that's doing it. It's not me. And it's good to be aware of my humanity and that without Him, I'm absolutely nothing. It was the great preacher Charles Spurgeon. He has an entire chapter that was devoted. The title of his book was Lecture to My Students. But one chapter in it, he tells his students, it's a chapter entitled Feigning Fits in the Ministry. And he deals with the ministers and he tells them that you will have these mood swings and you will have them and they will come after great victories. And some can read these unpleasant feelings. How many ever have a mood swing and you're down and you don't know why? It's just, why am I down? I'm just down. And There'll be an altar call this morning for those that can't raise their hand. And now sometimes people read that mood and someone will say, how many have ever said to a child, what's wrong, to a little kid? And he goes, I don't know. And yet, I know we're supposed to mature. When I was a child, I spake as a child. But you can, I've learned in the Christian life, have mood come over you. And you're trying to figure it out. And listen, sometimes people can interpret the mood and think, well, I guess maybe it's time for me to resign. Or maybe it's time for me to move on. Or maybe it's time for me to quit teaching Sunday school. Or to quit the position I have. Or do I have hidden sin? And you can begin to go through, why am I not feeling what I know I should be feeling, but I'm just having this? You find it happened to Elijah. Elijah, out of one of the greatest victories, where he's called down fire, and there the 900 prophets have been destroyed. And what do we find Elijah doing? He had a mood swing after that great victory where he is in the cave and God ministered to him. You find Jonah after perhaps the greatest revival in the Old Testament, and there is Jonah depressed with a mood swing. Jesus, right after he is baptized, right after he hears what we all love to hear, and what we love to have the Spirit of God quicken in our heart. But Jesus heard these words, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And yet we read the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and there he battled the enemy. And I can guarantee you, in that battle, there were moods of depression. There were moods of discouragement. Though he be the Son of God, yet the Scripture says he learned obedience through the thing which he suffered. And some of the things which we suffered are moods that we cannot explain. But I am just wanting you to know that God in his way is being able to say, listen, you're doing a good job. And I just want you to know it's me and it's not you. It's not your talent. It's not. And so God gets the glory. And how many know he's always supposed to get the glory? There is the Apostle Paul right after a great victory. Paul was allowed to experience visions of heaven. And yet after his revelation, we find the day following, Paul says that else I be exalted above measure, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. It was a dark cloud that came with his success. And he says it was there to buffet me. Now whatever it was, we know that it made him feel weak. And it made him, he didn't enjoy the feeling. And though whatever it was, whether it, you can argue till here till Jesus comes what it was, we do know that the result of what it was bothered Paul. And Paul learned to glory in his infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon him. And so I just want to say, to help you to understand those moods at times, that you will get through them, and may we learn to walk by faith and let faith be the voice we hear and not our feelings. But hear the advice of our Lord where he says, don't be dismayed. It was almost prophetic in nature. There's a second thing I've learned by experience. And that is, before a great victory happens in your life, there is often a battle before the battle. It is that first battle that is more important than the second battle. The second battle is one that God will fight for you, and you really don't have much to do with it. But the battle before the battle, you find that in the stories in the Bible, which helps me understand God's ways. We all preach about David slaying Goliath. What a great victory. But we fail to see the battle that was necessary to fight and to conquer before the big battle of slaying Goliath. And that was David, under the direction of his father, takes food to his brothers that have been encamped for 40 days, listening to Goliath mock them and make fun of them. And David, innocently, he watches this big giant And David asked, who is this fella doing that? And his brothers attack him. This is the battle before the battle. And there David is under attack. His motives are under attack. And his brothers say, we know the naughtiness of your heart. You're just trying to be a hot dog. And so here David is attacked personally. And he says, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? And often preachers often go the wrong direction on that. When David said, is there not a cause? What David was saying is, listen, my steps, there's a reason I'm here. I recognize I'm here because God has directed my steps. There's a reason this has happened. And I just want you to know, wherever you're going through right now, it may be a battle before the big battle, and that big battle God's going to win, but this battle, you have a part in helping to get the victory, and there is a cause. There's a reason why you're going through what you're going through right now. It is a battle. It is no fun. It is a mess, but it is a prelude to a bigger victory that you're getting ready to experience. And I want to encourage you to fight the good fight of faith, put on the whole armor of God, win this battle, because you're about to step in to a great victory. Let me give you many other places in the Bible where this happens, where the battle is before the big battle. We often preach on these great victories for God's people. And yes, but how many know that when David fought Goliath, it was God that did it? It was God that did it. But David had to battle that other battle. Another one. Look at Daniel in the lion's den. We preach how wonderful it was for Daniel to be in that lion's den. How many know Daniel didn't do anything in the lion's den? God shut the mouth of the lions. But there was a battle before that battle. And that was when Daniel was under the intimidation and the fear of others that had turned him in for praying three times a day. And Daniel could have gotten bitter. Daniel could have gotten upset. Daniel could have responded. How many know what it is to respond in the flesh to a battle? But Daniel continued as he always did. He wasn't going to be intimidated. I'm going to continue to pray. He opened his window towards the holy city, Jerusalem. And there Daniel fought that battle. And he would not be intimidated. He won that battle, which is a prelude to the bigger battle that God fought. How many know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? The same thing. It is always that battle before the other battle. And I just want to say, if you're going through something, and why am I going through this? May I prophetically say to you, I don't know how much the devil knows, but I know this, there is often a battle before the real battle that is going to happen. And if you'll stay true now, if you'll live for God now, if you won't be intimidated now, if you'll put God first now, there is a battle that is going to happen, and that one God will fight, but this one you have a part in fighting, and God, if you'll be faithful, He'll let you win that one. And that is something I've learned by experience. I have often learned that when I go through stuff, why am I going through this? It is often something that happens before a great, huge victory happens in my life. And so I just say that from experience, that if you're ever at times having a mood you don't understand. Let me give you another one of a battle before the battle. In Psalms chapter 40, David said, as a deer panteth after the water brook, so doth my soul panteth after thee, O God. David sets, and he's letting us know his determination. David is saying, I'm going to seek God, just like a deer. I'm going to get a hold of God. Anybody ever here have a hunger and a desire come over you that says, I need to seek God. I want to get a hold of God. And then you read about 8 or 9 verses later, 3 times David says, soul, why art thou cast down? Why are you troubled? And David faced 3 mood swings. It even ended up in the next chapter following where David had moods of of downness and depression. And it's as though the devil knew, you're going to seek God, I'm going to fight you so you can't get a hold of God. And so David determined to get a hold of God. There was a battle. And I want to just encourage you, if you are at a place where you say, I need more of God, I want more of God, may I tell you, get ready to be put into the wilderness as Jesus was. Get ready for a battle before the battle. And I want you to say, be strong, quit you like men, and be strong in the name of the Lord, as he said, and watch God bring forth great victory in your life. So, whatever you're going through, hang in there. You may be ready for a great victory. I have experienced that over and over again. Often in pastoring, some of the greatest blessings that happened in the church, before it happened, it was as though all H-E-double-L broke loose. And somehow, I got through that, and then, wow, Lord, that is great, a great victory. How many are going through something today? I want to encourage you. You may be on the precipice of a great thing God's wanting to do in your life. The old expression, give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day, but teach him to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. I hope this will help you in your walk with God, the battle before the battle, and the battle after the battle. At this time, we're going to have communion, and we're going to look to the Lord. You know, Jesus, before he went to the cross, he had the bigger battle. We often think that when he was on the cross, and I don't want to in any way minimize that great battle, but you read week before, Jesus said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. And he was beginning to be like a rose that's crushed for its fragrance. And the battle before the battle was when he was in the garden. And do you remember he sweat great drops of blood? And there Jesus is being crushed. The scripture says the rock was first smitten and then the water came forth in the Old Testament. And likewise, for God to bring out his glory out of you, he often has a way of bringing us through these things, of crushing. I know I'd like to preach to you a smiley sermon. You're all walking out, hallelujah, glory to God. But it's not always biblical. There is that time, and Jesus went through that battle in the garden. And he came out of that garden victorious. He went into it heavy. He went into it sorrowful. He went into it, oh, this night shall the shepherd be smitten, and the sheep shall be scattered, and they were. But he came out of the garden, prayed through with God's blessing on him, and you find no more sorrow in Jesus. You find no more heaviness. He goes to the cross. And there, that battle was won because of the earlier battle. And so whatever God's taking you through, be strong. You're about to experience some great things. I've asked Brother Jim Haynes today to lead us in communion. So Brother Jim, would you come? As he's coming, and the man, I would like to know, with your heads bowed just for a moment, how many would say, Pastor, or really, you're really making your acknowledgement to God. God, I'm going through it right now. I'm going through it. And I need your help to help me to go through this, that I may be strong. Would you just lift a hand up to God and by faith? Father, you see these hands. You're the healer. You're the deliverer. And the enemy often comes to fight us. Or just life, I've learned by experience. I pray you give us wisdom to know skillfully how to go through this. Because, Lord, a victory is around the corner. And I pray, God, for those that find themselves at times with mood swings, not able to understand, when we know in our heart we should be rejoicing and loving you, but we, like David says, so art thou cast down. I pray, God, that you help us to walk through this, and we know that it's you doing it, and that we be not dismayed, but we be encouraged in the Lord. In Jesus' name, bless your people. Amen.
We'd like to read today out of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Let's see, look at this. Chapter 11, and we'll start with verse 23. Our communion is an open communion. Everyone is welcome to share with us.
Yes.
And if you love Jesus today, then please partake of this, because in that we do show the Lord's death, or show the Lord's death until he comes. But Paul said, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same manner, he also took the cup. And after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" So that's what we're doing today. We're remembering what the Lord did for us. We're showing thanks that we appreciate the sacrifice, the pain, all that he endured. And so each one of you, as you have the opportunity, partake with us today. We'll be praying blessing in just a moment. What you hold in your hand is a little vial and a cup of grape juice. That represents the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. That was necessary, not for his sin, but for our sin. And the little piece of bread represents his body that was that was beaten and tortured. A few years ago, Mel Gibson came out with a movie, The Passion of Christ. And A lot of us saw that, we thought, Mike, that's so awful. And every time that we see a dramatization of what Jesus endured, it's terrible. But he did it for you. And he did it for now. He did it so that today we could stand and look back and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for suffering. Thank you for shedding your blood. And thank you for giving something to me that purifies me. And as I stand before God, I stand holy and righteous. And so we just eat this. And by doing that, we remember and we say thank you. Brother Bob, would you ask a blessing on the bread? Have the cup remaining representing the blood of Jesus. Tom, would you ask blessing and thanks over this? Amen. Let's partake together. Would you stand and let's just thank him. However you're comfortable, say thank you, Jesus. Lord, we're grateful for your mercy. We thank you for your blessing and for the relationship that you've given to us. We love you today, Jesus, and we want to always live in a way that exalts you. We want to remember what you did and look forward to the great hope of when you'll come and get us. We'll all be together in glory. We thank you, Lord, not only for what you did in the past, but the future that you paved the way for. And we look forward to eternal life, living in glory with you, and, Lord, being blessed throughout eternity. We give honor to who you are. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
We love you. We want to encourage you again. If you're going through it, you're going to see God bring forth victory in you. And so be of good cheer, Jesus said three times, and I want to say to each of you, be of good cheer. And you cannot leave here unless you have a smile on your face, but God bless you.